Thank you, Anna. So, in terms of our focus today, our Bible focus, as Tim said, there is such a brilliance in the way that John, Jesus's friend, described the life and ministry of Jesus. And he talked about signs a lot. And I'd like us to be creative today. You're going to hear the Bible reading in a moment from John. You're going to hear a story of Jesus feeding thousands. What I would like you to do, as you hear that story, I'm going to cut you up into different characters, and you're going to imagine yourselves in those characters' shoes as the story is being read. And then we're going to see a video of a dramatization of what that could have felt like, looked like from The Chosen. And again, I want you to see and feel what your character would have seen and felt. And I'm going to ask you some questions as we carry on afterwards. So I'm going to say, this section of the room, I'm looking at you, you are the crowd. So give yourself a backstory. Say you're Matthias, the shepherd, and you've wandered into this particular teaching of Jesus and you're hungry. Or you might be Deborah and you're trying to look after ratty kids because they've been all day listening to Jesus and they've had no food. Whatever it might be, you're the crowd. Just consider that role as you carry on. So that's everyone on that section, that segment. Middle section, including up, you're the boy. Think about the boy who came to Jesus with his five loaves and two fish. What is he thinking? What is going on for him as a participant in the miracle? You're the boy. You guys are the disciples. So consider what it was like for you to have seen and heard all the things you've seen and heard so far. Are you worried when there's no food? Are you thinking this is not a miracle time? This is disaster time. Just keep that role in mind as you hear and watch. You might not be into the particular video we'll see, and that's okay. Feel free to read John 6 again, or indeed Mark 6, Matthew 4, 14, Luke 9. Every single gospel records this miracle. It's pretty important that God wanted it in there four times. It speculates on some details, but that's okay. It's an episodic series of the life of Jesus. I hope it will touch you powerfully. So thanks, John, if you want to read, and then we'll have a look at the video.
After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near, so when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with pieces from the five barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet who is come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force, to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself.
A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he changed his mind, and he went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I will go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two sons did the will of the father?
The first!
Many of you are from cities such as Tyre and Sidon, cities that have rejected God.
You, where did you find that?
At the bottom of my bag. Forgot it was in there. A little stale, but it'll do.
You've been out here for days and you just discovered it?
I followed some men who told me we were coming to watch a fight.
A fight?
Everyone was just in such a hurry.
Does anyone have any food? No food?
Your name is Andrew, yes?
Yes.
I wanted to say thank you again for everything.
I'm not the one who killed your father, but I can certainly pass that along.
You're asking about food?
Yes.
I want to share what I have.
Zombies can feed one family of thousands.
I just wanted to do what I could.
The kingdom of heaven.
Are you okay?
It's like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
What do you mean by that?
No, I don't know. Let me say it another way. It's like a merchant in search of fine pearls.
Why did you deliver, sir?
There's no way to feed these one people. Pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Listen carefully, because this is accessible to all of you, regardless of race or creed.
It's the last thing we need.
The kingdom is so valuable that once you have glimpsed it, it's worth parting with everything you have in order to gain it.
We shouldn't burden you.
Even though to others you might look like a fool, throwing away your life savings to buy what would look to others an unremarkable field. But you know of the hidden treasure. That makes it worth everything.
Have you come closer to here, Betty?
No, there is an issue.
My friends, if you'll excuse me, I must speak with my students a moment.
Rabbi, people are without food.
Some have been without food for days, others have traveled great distance.
So, give them something to eat.
We're out of food. They're out of food.
Time to send them home.
But at this point, they're so hungry and tired, if we send them home, they're faint along the way.
You knew they were hungry?
Yes, Judas. I can see them while I'm talking. Well, this is a tough one. How can we buy some bread for all these people?
We only came with a little over 200 denarii.
Rabbi, that's not even enough to get a little bit for everyone. I wouldn't even know how to calculate that.
Matthew and I can calculate that. That's really easy.
Maybe if we go into the cities, we can negotiate something on credit.
Yes. Yes, that could work.
Negotiate with whom? The closest city is Abila, and its entire population is here. It's 9 miles away, and even if we raided every house in town, we'd have to find a way to bring it back here, and it would still only feed a fraction of the masses.
Can you bring me anything? Surely there's some food from someone, even a small amount.
5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what is this for so many?
Barley loaves.
2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Thank you for clarifying.
This is humiliating.
John? He'll take care of it if he wants to.
You look scared. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that they'll choose them.
This is wonderful bread, Telemachus.
I know it's not enough.
Well, it's enough for me. I can do a lot with this. Thank you.
I said, are you Lord our God,
King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth?
Did they find some bread?
If they've got bread, be ready. We'll probably be first.
Feed them. What has changed? Are we
organized the people into groups of 50 and 100? Gather up 12 baskets to distribute the loaves and fish. Was I unclear?
No. This feels familiar. Maybe.
Let's go.
Does anyone have a basket? Let's borrow a basket. Anyone?
Feed them.
Yes. Anyone have a basket? Anyone?
The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. This is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the gardens. Becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and make their nests in its branches.
There, you think so? There.
There. Anyone need some?
It's better than the tail.
That's the last of it. Yeah, that's the last of it. All right, Marcus, you can have your basket back.
Is your basket full?
You see this? You see all this?
How? How did you find
kept you here all this time giving you spiritual food. But you clearly need actual food now. So let's eat!
Crowd, what are you thinking as you go through this experience? Just call out your responses from the floor. What did you notice? Were your expectations met? What questions are you left with? say anything. Very moved, yeah, joyful to be fed, yeah? Surprised? Other reactions from the crowd? Satisfied, yeah. It does my head in, yes. Wondering what it means. Who do you think Jesus is at this point as a member of the crowd? Miracle worker? Just a good chef. I mean, that's enough. You're hungry. Thank you. Let's go to the boy. How does it feel to have played a part? Just call out your responses. How are you taking this in? Yeah, so he has a part to play. That's all I've got, yes. And he seemed to have some measure of faith that it would be useful. Yeah. Hope, yeah. Sorry, someone else? Unbelievable, yeah. Yeah. And he would have a story to tell because they were his loaves and his fish. Talking about the disciples now, what's your reaction? Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great summary. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good summary. It's this moving from panic, it's having some responsibility, freaking out that everyone's going to revolt, and then seeing the answer, which is so meager, and then the result, which was lavish. The question that every single cast member, every single character would have been asking is, who is Jesus and who do I think he is? That's a really important question, and it's got to do with this word sign that John includes in his gospel. So chapter 6, verse 14, when the people saw the sign Jesus had done. Another question to you all, throw it open. What's a sign do? This is an easy one. What's a sign do? Points to something, yep. Other things that signs do? Direction, sorry, someone said. They're labels, yep. What else? Warnings, signs can be warnings. Jan? Signs can be evidence, yeah. Signs sort of reveal the steps to get to a destination. Other functions of signs? Say again. Gives identity. Yeah, so they also, a good sign doesn't make a big deal of itself either. It sort of deflects attention to the thing that it's signifying. And then and now, they were meant to read the signs, so to speak, and ask, who do I think Jesus is? Jesus repeatedly would say, and you see this in John's gospel a lot, the signs are not the point. Don't obsess over signs. Don't ask me for more signs. Because he was there right in front of them as the one to whom all the signs pointed. And actually it happens in our passage, John 6:22. The large crowd who had been fed tracked Jesus down to another location. And it seems that they don't read the sign as pointing to Jesus. They're just fascinated by the miracle. So here's what Jesus says, John 6:26. Truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. So they should have been thinking, this isn't just about bread and fish multiplied. This is meant to reveal something about the real identity of Jesus. But instead, they were obsessing over the free feed and what that could do for them. So we need to ask, let's back up. What's the meaning of this particular sign? The heading has feeding of the 5,000, but that's pretty underestimating of the total group that were there. There's 5,000 men are recorded by John. Other gospel writers say it's the men only who are counted, and that seems to be that there'd be more, surely. Maybe double that, really, if you think about women and children who are with the men. So let's call it the feeding of the 10,000 plus. What is the answer to the question, who is Jesus, when it comes to this feast? I think it was summed up pretty beautifully in the clip by the boy who brings the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. Remember, he said, I know it's not enough. And Jesus replies, it's enough for me. I can do a lot with this. It's enough for me. In this sign, Jesus is doing lots of things, just like the other 6 signs in the Gospel of John. Here are a few things he's doing. There's a note in verse 4 about the Passover. And the fact that the Passover is being connected to this event is very important. It reminds us there's a whole Old Testament background to this story. So there's a crowd and it's a mix. And you heard Simon Peter talk about them. There's a mix of Gentiles, non-Jews, as well as Jews in the crowd. And if the Jews were thinking already about Passover festival and the fact that that was on its way, they had in their minds all of the events that led to the first Passover. How they were enslaved in Egypt, how their ancestors knew this story of being in slavery and then freed by Moses, the prophet, leading them out. Passover was called Passover because death, or the angel of death, passed over them when they were in Egypt. At God's command, they killed an animal sacrifice. They killed a lamb. They put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. The angel of death passes by. They are spared. An animal dies so they don't have to. Now cue Jesus saying something remarkable later in John 6. John 6, 51 and 58. Let me read this out. This is the well-fed crowd a little later after the miracle is done. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now, this is key because soon after that Passover event, they were led, God's people, out of Egypt into freedom and then into a wilderness where they had to trust God to provide for them. And he did send bread, manna, from heaven such that they were miraculously provided for. But now Jesus is saying, I didn't just redo that miracle as you were fed by these 5 loaves, 2 fish. I was pointing to myself as being the true bread from heaven, the bread of life, as it goes on to say in verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate and they died. The one who eats this bread, he's talking about himself, will live forever. And he's going to talk about how if someone eats his flesh and drinks his blood, it's really violent language. If someone connects so powerfully as to feed and drink me in, they will live forever. So this is a building upon a miracle in the desert, a miracle in a field. So now, if you receive me, desperate like you are for food, thirsty like you are for drink, you will be satisfied. See how we've moved away from the sign? It's not about the sign, it's pointing to who Jesus is. Another way that Jesus answers this question, who am I, in this miraculous feeding, is he's doing something his father does all the time, which is making something out of nothing. Did you notice in the way they tried to pictorialize it, it was a big basket that was rattling around bits of bread and fish. It was so empty that they could lift it. And then A second later, it was so heavy they couldn't lift it because this basket had been, all of the baskets had been filled to the brim with bread and fish. Where did that come from? We almost miss that part. We wonder, did it just appear out of thin air? Well, yes, because that's what God does. I love how Sally Lloyd-Jones in the Jesus Storybook Bible puts it. She says, Jesus knew the one who had made all the fish in all the oceans, who in the very beginning made everything out of nothing at all. How hard would something like this be for someone like that? You know, see Jesus in the clip, it's a beautiful little detail. Verse 11, he lifts up the bread, he thanks God for it. Lloyd-Jones goes on, Jesus did many things like this that people thought weren't natural, but it was the most natural thing in all the world. It was what God had been doing from the beginning, taking the nothing and making it everything. Who is Jesus? Jesus is enough. More than enough. He's more than 12 basket full enough. We actually get this chance of being a living, breathing sign pointing to the all-sufficient Jesus as well. So as much as there are signs of life, the Jesus life, who Jesus is in John's gospel, the way that the Christian life works is we kind of become mini billboards to advertise the truly satisfying Christ. Verse 35, this is how he talks about himself. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty. And I think that that's good for us personally, individually, to and indeed within and inside the church to be convinced of. Jesus satisfies. He's enough. He's more than enough. But you actually notice the miracle is for the sake of others, not just the disciples. It's so the crowd is fed. It's so the crowd has the story shared of how good and satisfying Jesus is. So I kind of wonder whether, if presented with such an all-satisfying Christ, we sometimes have Philip's response. We look at the need and we look at our resources and we come up short and we say, it's hopeless. What can this do to feed that many people? What can my meager gifts do to meet the growing need amount around me? What can my small mustard seed faith do to bless another? But look, unlike us, Jesus is not discouraged by what we have to offer. That's what's so brilliant about this story. He's smiling as he receives the boys' gifts of bread and fish. It's more than enough for him. The need is great as we look out. So there are many, many people we come across who have a whole ache in their hearts for the all-satisfying bread and drink that Jesus can give. And it can feel deeply hard to try to meet that need. We say, we look at ourselves, we go, my resources are meager. Whether your time, your talents, your prayers, they are meager. What are they going to be? Even in Jesus' hands, how could they multiply and feed those in need? Two examples I've been talking about for a little while have come to bear here. So we've been considering how to do schools outreach in our local community. And there are literally thousands of parents, kids, and teachers who don't have this all-satisfying relationship with Jesus, the bread of life. And we look at ourselves and go, okay, well, we've got some connections here, some connections there, but the obstacles seem vast and there are just so many people to reach. Are we going to have Philip's response? It's not enough. Or are we going to put ourselves in Jesus' hands and by faith watch the miracle repeat? The resources multiply. The multitude fed. We think about our refugee ministry. One of the families will be receiving, single mother with 8 children, having lived in a refugee camp in Zimbabwe for 12 years. Their need is great. There's trauma. There's all sorts of acclimatization that's going to have to take place in this new land, Australia. There's English to learn, jobs to secure, house to move into, relationships to forge, pain to heal. Again, it can feel overwhelming. The need is great. We say, what have I got to give? Will we resign ourselves to hopelessness, or will we place ourselves in Jesus' hands? Watch the miracle repeat. Resources multiply, multitudes fed. We're purposely leading up to Easter with this series. I want us in these weeks to keep watching as the signs point, not only to Jesus, but to the ultimate sign, which is Jesus' cross and resurrection. Because that's going to prove who he really is. And today, just bring us back here for a moment. On that table, we have a beautiful depiction of the meager resources we bring and the lavish provision Jesus gives. So we open our hands and we empty-handedly come to the bread and the cup, and we watch Jesus fill us up. We watch Jesus fill up our life with his very life, which the signs of the bread and the wine point to. So you might like to gather up your reflections as a crowd member, a disciple, as a boy, as your own life. You're challenged to be seeking him as all-satisfying Jesus. You also might like to consider the person around you in your life who desperately needs this all-satisfying message. We'll pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your dependence on the Father. Thank you that in you and through you all things were made. So it's not surprising that you could take nothing and make something out of it, feeding these thousands of hungry people. We ask that more than being astounded at the performance of it, we'd be pointed to who you are. We'd see the proof in not just this, but the six other signs that you are who you say you are. We pray for faith to believe that our meager resources are not an obstacle to you. You take what we have when we're willing to give it, and you multiply it, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us. We trust in your promise. No one who comes to you in their hunger and thirst will ever be hungry and thirsty again, because you satisfy. We ask for this power afresh to be good news for those in desperate need of it. In Christ's name, Amen.